It's time for JT the Brick.
This is a new day. It's a new chapter. It's a new era. It's a new mindset.
Jacoby Myers in motion. O'Connell takes the snap, throws it out to him. He's going to throw to the end zone. Touchdown, Devontae!
I love hearing that sound.
You know, I thought at the end of the year it was nice. Allegiant Stadium started to turn into a home field advantage. You could hear the roar of the crowd.
Well, to me, it's not just unconventional. It's the right way, and it's our way.
Vegas is the global hub of the Raider Nation. Now it's got to act that way every home game.
Raider Nation, as I always say, you know, you show up and we'll show out.
JT the Brick.
It's a real thing. It's a tangible thing. You get in the building and you feel it.
It's a war to track down Kansas City. I've always been a big fan of running the football.
Hand off to Zamir. Cuts to the right side. First down, 35. First 40. Down the 50. Near side, 40. 35, 30. And Zamir White might have just salted away a Raiders win.
I'm always looking for opportunities to compete, man. And this is a great one here.
And now,
Raider Nation unite!
Here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT, as we start a fresh week here on the flagship of the Silver and Black on a glorious Monday. What's the temperature today, Bobby? I mean, it feels roasty out there today. 90 degrees. We'll have a high of 94 degrees today, a low of 67 rest of the week. What's our high this week? Friday, 97 degrees. Here we go. I like it that way. Big weekend. Went and saw the Rolling Stones, made the papers. Tell you about that a little bit later on in the show. Hope you had a great weekend. And this week, our focus is on the Raiders schedule release, the NFL schedule release, which will drop on Wednesday. I'll be in the Raider facility. We got some specialty programming that they'll let me know about. So we'll break down the schedule with you on Raider platforms. And then we'll probably spend... because I'm assuming the schedule won't be released when I'm on, maybe noon to 2. I don't know. Maybe it will. And then we'll have Thursday and Friday to go over it. I definitely spend a few days on the schedule. That's one of my strengths, I believe. One of the things I love to do in my career with the Raiders is dive into the schedule. I was taught that by Bruce Allen, former Raider GM, former senior assistant, who would take me in his office on schedule day back in the day and walk me through the games, the bye week, playing on a Thursday, playing the following Sunday, this, that, and everything, and gave me a couple of nuggets that I've been talking about my whole career here. I think the schedule, other than the dates are everything, right? The dates are everything. When they're going to play the games, we know who they're playing. But the issue is going to become, is it going to be hard early? Is it going to be hard late? And weather-related. The Raiders have been very fortunate that they haven't played weather games, man. The Buffalo game last year was balmy and warm. Right, they're playing Tampa this year in Tampa, in Miami. Weather shouldn't be a problem unless it's early. And one of those two games will probably be early in the humidity. And then they have dome teams that they play, such as New Orleans. But I think what's critical this year is as the Raiders have 8 home games and 9 road games, that's not really true. They kind of have 10 home games because they're playing the Rams and the Chargers in L.A., and that's a home game for the Raiders. It's definitely a home game, especially against the Rams. And we know the Chargers, the Charger fans roll over for the Raider fans. Rams got fans. The Rams got fans, but they don't want to deal with Raider fans. So they'll sell you those tickets. So we got 2 games close to home, not any travel, real easy, and that's cool. And then what I want to do today, the topic I want to hit on today to get you involved, because I'm really working hard to get you involved here more in May and June than in past years. It just seems like it's just, I don't know, people are checked out and they should be checked in more every day here. We ask you to focus for 2 hours a day. I don't care what other shows you listen to, they're all great here, but when I get on, it's faster, it's intense. We need some people to fight in here and get in here and have some opinions. So today the topic is very simple. I want to know what 2 games, I don't want to do 4 or 5, it's not going to happen, but what are the national games that you want for the Raiders? I need you to do this for me. I want 1 home game that's going to be nationally televised, which would be a Sunday or Monday night. Thursday's out. I don't want to hear about Thursday. Thursday's not a big deal. And then I don't, at Christmas, we don't know what's going to happen on Christmas, which is on a Wednesday this year. If you want to guess Christmas, you can guess it, but I want to get at least 2 games from you, 1 home and 1 on the road. I'll go first. So when the schedule comes out on Wednesday, I think the home national game should be Kansas City. Should be Kansas City no matter what. Kansas City at home. Give me that on a Sunday night or Monday night football. I'll take it. Got to have a big game for Kansas City. It's got to be here. They're the reigning champs. They're going for a three-peat. They're already a dynasty. They played in our building for the Super Bowl. We got to catch that game here at home. Doesn't mean we're going to get it. So Sunday or Monday there. The road game, as much as I don't want it to be, a national game. I think there's a chance it could be New Orleans because they love television matchups, and it'd be Derek Carr in New Orleans against his former team, the Raiders, in New Orleans. I think that would be a really good Sunday night game. Sunday night in New Orleans or Monday night in New Orleans. It'd be cool if it's Monday because we can get a three-day weekend out there. We can go in there on Saturday, take over the town, or Friday and be there all weekend, sleep in on Monday and have a Monday night game. That would be beautiful if that would happen there. So that's it. I don't want to go down five games. I don't want to guess four. I want you to focus here if you're going to call in. Give me the home national game that you want to see and the road national game that you want to see. If the road game is at Tampa, Baker Mayfield, as they went to the playoffs, that'd be cool too. But that's what I'd like to see. What do you want to see? 702-365-9200 as we open up the show. So I'm excited about the schedule. We're going to do that for most of the week. Most of the week there. Breaking news, the Raiders made it official. So right out of the gate, the Raiders making noise. Our new offensive line juggernaut, our new stud, our new big boy is official. Jackson Powers Johnson, the club just announced he signed his contract, so everyone's locked in, and we got him. And look, he played some left guard. I'm penciling him in at right guard. He could play center. I think Andre James getting the contract extension to play center, I'm good with that. Andre James is a good player. This guy might be better than him at center. He was better than him in college at the same age, but I just know that we got a starter on the offensive line. That is so important that he's going to be penciled in to start. You notice there's no shenanigans. You're not hearing, well, you know, we're going to have to develop him in camp, and we're going to have to develop JPJ. No, no. He's a starter. He's starting. He's a stud. He's starting, and we got a starter, obviously, in Brock Bowers. So that's good. And I give Tom Telesco the credit on that. Then our third-round pick was a right tackle. I don't know if he's going to start or not, but he could be in the conversation. I'm not into rookie right tackles. Not into it. That's a dangerous position. That's like dropping a guy in the middle of a shark tank with great white sharks, putting a rookie at right tackle. I don't care how good he is. How good he is at all. Remember, Alex Leatherwood got blown out of the league right out of the gate, and he won the Outland Trophy. So that we got a couple of starters that are going to be there. The rest are surprises. Harry Ruiz, the Latino voice of the Silver and Black, will join us at 12:30 Pacific time. We'll get into that. And our other guest later on, my buddy Maury Brown from Forbes, Baseball Insider, is going to check in on a Monday, go through baseball and some other financial topics. And then it's just you and me. And again, most of the time it's just me. So it's you and me when you want to check in, you want to tweet. I'm not reading texts. I'm not giving away koozies. You're not getting a shirt for a phone call yet. We just want to get some opinions here on the national schedule for the Raiders. Paul Gutierrez put it out. I retweeted it. I care about the national games a lot because I like the atmosphere of big, big, big games, right? Carla's in the chats. He said, we can beat Kansas City on Christmas again. Yeah, we could play that game on Christmas again, and that's Captain Obvious for the league. Christmas worked out really well, not for Kansas City. It was the last loss they had. It worked out well. A lot of people don't want to play on Christmas. It's a Wednesday this year. I don't mind that. I'm good with working on a Wednesday. We did last year. It was fun. It was a good day. It was a good Christmas. Christmas started late for me and my family that night. But it is a Wednesday this year, so that will be a national game if the Raiders get selected there. But I don't want to include Christmas or Thursday night. I want to include just Sunday and Monday night, as we found out today. The season opener for the NFL on September 5th will be Kansas City hosting Baltimore. So that was the first one leaked, and there's going to be some leakage coming up tomorrow. Some leakage. It's, you know, these people are going to leak it, and we'll find out. And, you know, I'm not going to leak it, but you'll find out pretty soon where the Raiders are going to be. And the other leaks are going to be the first Monday night game and Amazon Prime and what they're going to do. So they're going to let the broadcast partners leak it and tell you what they're going to do. And the first leak is Kansas City, Baltimore, which is always a fascinating game because the loser of that opening Thursday night game doesn't play for nine more days. Nine more days. So if you lose that game on a Thursday, you don't play till the following Sunday. That's a long time to wait to play with a loss. It's as long as you can wait in between a loss and another game. In Kansas City, they should win that game, but they'll be tested. And I'll mention this more in the second hour. But imagine if Kansas City, how about this for fun? How about Kansas City opens up at home September 5th, Thursday night, and lose? Baltimore beats them. And then the Raiders' home opener is the following Sunday against Kansas City in Vegas. And we'd have a chance to beat them and open up the season 2-0 and Kansas City being 0-2. Let that sink in. I just gave you something that no one else has given you. Follow me here. Raiders open up the season. They open up, say, at home against Atlanta or whatever it's going to be. We win the opener at home. Then we play the following Sunday and we win the opener on the road. Say we open up on the road and we win. We come home for the home opener. It's Kansas City. And if we beat Kansas City and Kansas City loses to Baltimore, we're 2-0. Kansas City's 0-2. Highly improbable that that happens. Highly improbable that the Raiders open up 2-0 and Kansas City 0-2. But the only way that could happen is that Kansas City's got to lose the opener on Thursday night to Baltimore, which is a big matchup. Man, that is a marquee matchup. So I'm excited about that. NBA playoffs, my Knicks let me down. They're up 2-0. They completely crapped out and lost 2 games in Indy. The last game was a blowout. Denver was down 0-2 to Minnesota. They flipped that series and won 2, which was incredible there. Unbelievable to see them do that. So the NBA playoffs are important. I'm still trying to get people to talk NBA on this channel because there's a lot of Warrior fans and Laker fans. Even though you're out of the playoffs, you're NBA fans. You should jump on in and get on that. And as a couple of people have been saying, Blue3M says, depends on our bye week, too. When's our bye week? We got screwed last year on our bye week. I mean, the bye week was the longest wait that you could have for a bye week. Kind of ended up helping the Raiders a little bit down the stretch in Antonio Pierce as the Raiders got hot down the stretch, winning those 3 AFC West games and being there at the right time. But it was too long to wait for the bye week. You don't want the bye week in week 3 or 4, and you don't want the bye week in week 12 or 13. You like it kind of week 5, 6, 7, 8 looks pretty good on that. And the national games, the travel games, as I look at the opponents here, and as I opened up and I talked about the cold weather games, here's the potential for cold weather. So we haven't played a cold weather game in a while. We haven't. We haven't played a cold weather game in a while for a team that's based in Henderson where it's about to get 115 degrees. So on the road this year, Denver, Kansas City, both cold weather cities if we go there at the end of the year. And we didn't. Last year we opened in Denver. And when we played on Christmas in Kansas City, as you remember, it wasn't snowing and freezing and an awful day. So we could get Denver and Kansas City in the cold this year. We could get Cincinnati in the cold. We could get Baltimore in the cold. And that's it. Our warm weather games this upcoming season are a lock to be the Rams, the Chargers, the Dolphins, the Buccaneers. I mean, those are 4 warm weather games. And New Orleans is in the dome. So we do have a dome game coming up. I think it's the only away game. Let me get this straight. Yeah, the only dome game we have on the whole year, because SoFi and it being open, Tampa's open, Baltimore's open, Miami and the Rams. Again, I'm going to say the Rams is open because there's an open field element there. The only game we play in a dome, because all of our games are in a dome. This is important. All of our home games are in a dome. We like playing in a dome. More dome games for us, the better for us. We got one dome game at New Orleans. That's the game I'm predicting will be a national game. The home schedule's not great, but the place is sold out. It's the toughest ticket and most expensive ticket in sports. So they can line up Bishop Gorman, play Liberty, play Centennial, and we'd still be sold out. The home schedule, Cleveland, Atlanta, Carolina, Pittsburgh, and Jacksonville. I say this again, very important. Some of these teams are good now, right? Some of them are good, but follow me here. Cleveland at home, a legendary doormat of a franchise. Doormat, garbage. Okay, they got Deshaun Watson, they're good. They got Myles Garrett, they're good. Don't act like they're Kansas City. If we can't beat Cleveland at home, toe-to-toe with Brock Bowers and the two-man tight ends, Atlanta coming here. Don't act like Atlanta. They've been a perennial doormat in the history of this league. Carolina is the worst team in football, bar none. Pittsburgh with the terrible towels come in. Pittsburgh's good. They're not great. Pittsburgh, this isn't Franco's Italian army coming in here. But Pittsburgh will have tickets. And then we get Jacksonville at home. Gardner Minshew's got a better track record than Trevor Lawrence in 2 years than Trevor's got in 3. Got to sweep Denver. I mean, Denver, and then Kansas City and the Chargers. I heard a radio guy today talk about, said, quote, "I don't think it's possible for the Chargers to win 12 games. I literally fell out of my chair. I rarely fall out of things. I fell out of my chair. I said, wait a second, 12? They won 5 last year, gave up 63 to the Raiders, lost Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams, and L.A. propaganda again telling you that the Chargers might not win 12. Oh, really? Might they win 10 or 11? Oh, yeah. L.A. propaganda has them winning 10 or 11. I just love this. Love this. And Bobby knows it's probably the craziest topic of the offseason every year. How much time have I spent in the offseason, just in Vegas history? I'm just talking Vegas Raiders, where every year the same clowns in the media say the Chargers are going to win 12 games and go to the playoffs. They haven't been right once. They figure they'd be right once. 1 out of 4 or 5 years they go, or they're doing something special. Nothing. Dead on arrival. So that's where we're at. A lot of people are asking about the national games. We're on YouTube. Hit subscribe. Just come on in there and you get in the show early. Get a chance to make some internet friends and get in the show and chat and find out what we're talking about before the microphone opens and I get a chance to talk to everyone when we go to break here again. So I got a lot to get to today. I want to recap my night with the Stones. If you read Johnny Katz, Mick Jagger sat next to me at dinner. That was pretty mind-blowing. I'll tell that story specifically. And a good night, a really good night out on Saturday night, man. The Stones was just as good. That was my 16th show, and that was top five. 80-year-old Mick Jagger was as good as I've seen. He was fantastic. And the sound was pretty good. Congratulations to Allegiant Stadium as the sound gets better and better. I thought the sound was great. I thought the service was good. I had a really good time. All right, let's open up the show and get going. If you call, I'm going to get to you. And if you're not there, I'm going to let you know. Jared in Vegas on the week of the schedule release. Go ahead, Jared. What's happening?
Hey, JT. Great weekend. I was at the Stones, took my wife. It was an amazing show, our first time, and did not disappoint. Mick Jagger has set the bar for 80-year-olds because that dude is something else, man. That was amazing.
Was that your first Stone show?
That was my first Stone show.
Yeah, my son's too. My youngest son came with us, and I thought you caught a great show. I mean, I don't know if you'll ever see him again in Vegas. It's getting to that point, but if that was their last ever Vegas show, they really went out on top.
For sure. Did not disappoint. Not one bit. As far as the schedule goes, I'm looking at two games that I would really like to see nationally, and that's New Orleans, just like you said, for personal reasons. I got loads of family out in New Orleans. My sister and my brother-in-law, huge Saints fans, so I'd love to go out there and watch them go home disappointed. And the Atlanta, my dad is a huge Falcons fan, has been my entire life. Obviously, he couldn't change me because they were a dumpster fire my entire life. So I would love to bring my dad here and let him see what the nation is all about. Those are the two games I want. I want to see the Falcons on either a Monday night or a Sunday night. I hope it's a national game, but that's where I'm at. Let's go.
Thanks, Jared. I appreciate it. Yeah, I think the Raiders should get 3 national games. I'm not counting Thursday. So we know Thursday is going to be a national game. It's the only game. Thursday on Amazon Prime, they'll get that game at home or on the road. It'll either be at the Chargers or home to the Chargers. They seem pretty happy giving us that game on Thursday night. But then after that, 2 more national games, 1 at home and 1 on the road. And the road schedule, I think the road schedule is stronger than the home schedule. I don't envision that I'm going to whine like a schoolgirl, schoolboy, a 12-year-old when the schedule comes out. I've been known to do that. Oh, yeah, I've been known to be the guy who is really uncomfortable, blanketing and moaning about getting screwed on the schedule. I'm looking at this entire schedule here, there, and there's nothing that bothers me about the schedule. You got tough teams, you have to, you're in the NFL. The only thing that I would be concerned about is Baltimore and Kansas City. So Kansas City and Baltimore, 2 Kansas City, 1 Baltimore game on the schedule. Okay, if they put Kansas City and Baltimore close to each other, like a week apart, that could be nerve-wracking. So if we get Baltimore at home, and then we got to go play Kansas City, Baltimore would be on the road. So if we have to go, say, play Baltimore, travel cross-country and play them, and then come back and have to play Kansas City, I'd be concerned about that. That's it. I don't know how they're going to spread that out. But, I mean, there's nothing to be scared about with the home schedule. Raider fans aren't scared of Kansas City. Concerned. I love that home schedule in regards to degree of difficulty. Carolina, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Atlanta, and Cleveland. That's fine. I couldn't have drawn it up any better than that. I mean, who's the toughest team that the Raiders are going to play at home outside the division? Well, Cleveland, most likely. I think Cleveland is the best team of all that. A lot of people are crowning Atlanta as the new team that people are going to like there. I don't see it. I don't see it completely just yet. Carolina's a must win. If you look at this, I had a buddy of mine who we bumped into at the concert. I was talking to him about the schedule, and he made a good point. If we sweep Denver, we have the season ticket holders. Those are two wins. Carolina's three. Carolina's at home. That's three. You split with the Chargers. You split with the Chargers. You have four wins. They're only saying we're going to win 6.5. They're only saying we're going to win 6.5. I just gave you two versus Denver, one versus Carolina, and one versus the Chargers in a split. I got you to four already. And there's still a double-digit games left. Vegas thinks we're only going to win 6.5, which means they think we're going to win 6, not even 7. I mean, that the negative energy from the bent noses and the sharps on the Raiders, I don't see it. I mean, I don't think this team is a Super Bowl contender. I don't. They are not a Super Bowl contender, but they're a playoff contender. And there's good energy around the team. Good energy in Montana. Ron on the phone in Montana. Hello, Ron.
Hey, JT. Hey, thanks for taking my
Thank
call,
you.
You and Bobby.
Thank you.
Hey, national home game, Chiefs and Raiders on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And national game, road game, Chargers and Raiders in
L.A. Harbaugh
on Monday night. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see a Harbaugh a Raiders Monday night game on Monday night in L.A. And that would be cool. That'd be a 3-day weekend for Raider fans in L.A. And that'd be a home game for the Raiders. That'd be really cool, actually.
Yep. Thank you for taking
Thank
my
you.
Call.
All right. Appreciate it. That's what we're doing today. We're wondering through you which of the two games you want nationally, home and on the road, one each. Be specific. We don't know the dates. We're going to find out on Wednesday. On Wednesday, take out the credit card. As I said, priority. Here's what you do. First thing you do is get a hotel room. New Orleans doesn't have – well, New Orleans has a lot of hotels. They do. They're a Super Bowl city, but you got to – there's a couple of places. One thing about New Orleans is a good place for Airbnbs. If you're a Raider fan, you're going with a couple of buddies, you rent a house right there in New Orleans. That's pretty cool, too. So you get your plane – you get your accommodations first. You get your airline tickets second. You get tickets to the game third. There's always tickets available for a game. But there's not a lot of hotel rooms in a lot of these cities. I mean, in my career, I've been to Kansas City once. Never liked Kansas City. I don't. I like Vegas and San Diego and L.A. and San Francisco and New York. I'm not a big Kansas City guy. I've been there, done that. I promise you I'm not going to Cincinnati, most likely. It's not the Queen City is not a destination for me. And the L.A. games are going to be great. I'm excited about Costa Mesa, man. I can't wait to cool off in Costa Mesa when we get the opportunity to be out there, and we don't know the specifics on that deal just yet. All right, when we come back, hey, first, the monologue's brought to you by PT's. Great place to pregame for concerts, anything, 5 to 7, midnight to 2. Head on out to your local PT's here. They're everywhere. New ones online, too. PT's fuels the monologue as we open up the show. The Spanish voice of the Raiders, Harry Ruiz, will join us next. He was out at rookie minicamp. He's got some nuggets for us from being out there. And then we're going to talk to Maury Brown, Forbes financial baseball guy. He can do it all. We'll have a nice conversation with him coming up. And then my recap of the Stones and dinner next to Mick. It could have been cool if it was dinner with Mick. It wasn't. But it was dinner right next to Mick, which was a bucket list moment for me. Hey, we're back on the radio. It's Monday. Sound off like you got a pair, will ya?
Yeah, I think it was just part of my work ethic, just getting in there, getting to work, and learning the playbook as fast as I can, because I think that makes a huge difference. Like, my mind's racing out there, so I feel like I can't go as fast as I need to be going at this level, and it's just playbook's a big part of it, because I can play at full speed and everything.
That's Brock Bowers. That's Brock Bowers, who can handle everything. He played at Georgia. You think they run some good practices at Georgia? You think Kirby knows how to put a... The guys who play on Georgia are all in the NFL. I don't believe that a college team can beat an NFL team. I don't. But I think the best Georgia team of all time playing Carolina. All the guys in Carolina didn't play at Georgia. Georgia was better. So all the Georgia players are better than the Carolina players if they go to the NFL. So why couldn't Georgia beat Carolina with Brock Bowers? I don't know. Did Carolina have a guy that could cover Brock Bowers? But, you know, we give the NFL guys the lead, but not much over Georgia, man. Those Georgia-Alabama teams. Good to have you. I hope everybody had a good weekend. 702-365-9200. He was out at rookie camp. Always great to talk to the Latino voice of the Silver and Black with all his platforms. Harry Ruiz. Harry, give us some takeaways over there in Henderson. What'd you like?
What's up, JT? Always a pleasure catching up with you. Also, always great being able to chat a little bit with my man Bobby over there in the controls. I thought it was a good practice for the 30-plus guys that were out there, especially those first-year players, those that were drafted, those were that were undrafted as well. They started getting their first taste of what coaching in the NFL is, the difference with it. And you also saw some of the coaches trying to be patient with the guys, with the amount of repetitions, with some guys knowing how many, some others not, but them also knowing, hey, it's their first practice ever in an NFL field, so it's all about learning. And, of course, the Raiders only had one quarterback out there, Gus Bradley's son from South Alabama. He was the lone quarterback, but somebody that really caught my eye was Ramon Kaden, the wide receiver, undrafted free agent. That he was able to get a couple of plays where I was like, yo, this guy, you got to keep your eyes on him. And it was funny. I went on Twitter and saw his profile, and his bio just says DB assassin, defensive back assassin. And he lived up to the hype right there while he was out there on the field.
Now, Harry, it's going to be interesting because there's not a lot of room at the wide receiver slots already with Michael Gallup, the additions of a couple of veterans here, along with Devontae, Trey Tucker, and Jacoby Myers. So every year, as long as I've been doing this, I don't spend a lot of time on the sixth receiver. We do the preseason games, you and I. And when we do it, by the end of preseason, we come down to the final cut. And there's always who's going to be the sixth wide receiver. I don't see that being a huge topic this year, considering the contracts they've already given out to veterans.
But you know what, JT? How many years has it been where we've had DeMarcus Robinson coming in to compete, that we've had Willie Snead come in to compete, and they don't make it through that final cut, and they end up getting somebody that they either drafted or an undrafted free agent or somebody coming back from the previous year that ended up being a guy that, like Christian Wilkerson last season, who had a killer game in the final preseason game out there in L.A., and he ended up earning a roster spot with the Raiders. Then he stayed with the practice squad. But the wide receivers, the Raiders are stacked right now. They got Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers, and that's a duo that you know that they're not going to be off the field very often. They got Trey Tucker, a guy they got a lot of trust on, and there's an opening. Hunter Renfrow, he's not with the team anymore, so there's a spot to be taken. Now it's about, will it be a veteran like a Jalen Guyton, or will it be a young guy coming in as a new guy on the squad?
Harry Ruiz is our guest. Check him out on all the platforms, especially what he does with the Raiders. Also at Raiders.com with his podcast. So, Harry, this 12, you know, the 12-man personnel that we're going to see, the 12 personnel and the two tight end set, I'm excited about it, and we're fair on this show. We're pro Raiders. We're fair with the Raiders. They have to knock out this 12 personnel package very quickly here. This cannot be a work in progress. They're two young players, Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers. Typically, I would say, well, you know, we got two young bucks there. It's going to take a couple of years for them to develop. No, 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 no. They were super elite in college. They have to be super elite now. I don't care how old they are, how young, lack of experience. They're football players. Luke Getsy's got to nail this play game plan, have these two guys practicing with all these unique setups, make sure it clicks early, either for Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew. I think the quarterback battle is going to come down to who's better in 12 personnel. Gardner Minshew is clearly better than Aiden O'Connell. Can Gardner Minshew prove in the preseason with the two tight end set that he can move the pocket and get the ball to Brock Bowers in space so he could have yards after catch? How do you see it?
Absolutely. And you know what? What AP said was right also on Friday, that he feels that Aiden O'Connell earned the right to get that first snap once practice starts in training camp. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that at the end of training camp, at the end of preseason, Aiden O'Connell will be the guy to get those first snaps. But if he does, that means that he earned that right also by competing against Gardner Minshew. It's going to be a competition. And look, you look at tight ends. Look at last season, Dalton Kincaid with Buffalo. Look at Sam LaPorta with the Detroit Lions. Both of those guys went out and balled out. We know that Michael Mayer, it took him a little bit to adapt, but he started playing real well midway through the season, and unfortunately an injury ended up cutting his rookie season short, but we started seeing him flash out there on the field with the kind of potential that he has. Now, year two, completely recovered from an injury, he has to be a big weapon, and the best part, JT, is that they're two tight ends. Yes, they got the same position next to their names on the roster sheet, but they're completely different players. You look at what Brock Bowers brings to the table, you can line them up anywhere on that line, and he's going to be able to produce for the Silver and Black, and that has to be something scary for the opposition, where you don't know if you're comfortable putting a linebacker against him because he's too fast, or if you're comfortable putting a safety against him because he's too big. So that's the kind of mismatches that the Raiders want, especially having a Davante Adams and a Jacoby Myers on the field as well, because they won't be able to double-team him.
Harry Ruiz joins us. Home opener September 5th for Kansas City. They take on Baltimore. So the topic of the day today on Raider Nation Radio is, what's the one national game and one road national game that Harry Ruiz would like to guess? Don't want Thursday night football. I'm only talking Sunday night or Monday night. Pick a game at home and on the road that you think would be a good fit for the Raiders and the schedule.
Don't worry, JT. I don't like those Thursday night games. It's short prep for the players, short prep for me. I think it's pretty obvious what everybody's thinking with that game against the Saints being marked up as a primetime game, a party in New Orleans. Raider Nation always shows up over there in the Big Easy. So I think that one's going to be it, but I'm going to go another route. I'm going to go with that Cincinnati game. I think it's going to be a good matchup on the road for the Silver and Black. Joe Burrow being out there on the field, having the weapons, the kind of weapons they have, the kind of weapons the Raiders have, the defensive matchups, having Trey Hendrickson on one side, having Max Crosby on the other. I think that's going to be an attractive matchup that could end up potentially being a Sunday or Monday night football game. And when you look over at home, there's not a lot of opportunities when you talk about outside of the Chiefs, which is the one that everybody thinks that might happen. So I'm just going to go out on a flyer and say that they might want to pit the Falcons against the Raiders, because you look at that storyline over there with Kirk Cousins being potentially a guy that the Raiders might have had their eye on. They were looking at quarterback. So I think the Falcons game would be interesting. It's their first time out here at Allegiant Stadium. You know that Atlanta fans are going to travel as well. Not as big as the Pittsburgh fans, but I'm going to throw that one out there. So I'll say go unconventional, like everybody is potentially saying, Saints and Chiefs. I'm going to go with the Bengals and the Falcons.
Good. Harry Ruiz, as we wrap it up, I haven't talked to you since the Costa Mesa news broke. You go to a lot of Dodger games, so I can envision you on a Tuesday night going to Raiders practice and maybe getting up to a Dodger game, which you love your Dodgers. And that'd be cool, a little cool weather, hopefully, getting out of Henderson. What'd you think about that announcement?
I was actually talking with Paul Gutierrez on Friday during rookie minicamp, and we were looking at the schedule, and the Raiders are playing the Giants at Dodger Stadium. They will be playing the Padres in San Diego, so there's going to be the possibility to go out there to L.A. to go watch the Dodgers. I don't got good memories because I went a couple of weeks back on Jackie Robinson Day, and they lost to the Nationals. But I really like this, JT. And here's something that maybe fans that are complaining online about it don't know. The intention of the Raiders when they moved to Vegas and built that beautiful headquarters wasn't to have training camp at headquarters every single year. It happened because of the pandemic, because of the COVID seasons and everything that went around it. But they wanted to have training camp elsewhere. And this season, I think it's fantastic to go over to L.A., have good weather, being able to, or well, Orange County, being able to avoid having to practice at 7 in the morning to not have to battle 110-degree weather at noon. So I think that's great. Being away from your usual life, which is fantastic, having kids, wives, families, friends, everything, but being able to just go and bunker down for 3 weeks and make this team even tighter, that I think will benefit the team a lot. So I think it's a win-win for the Silver and Black.
I agree with you, Harry. There's nothing wrong with getting out of Dodge when it's this hot. It's not ideal. They have an indoor practice facility for a reason. when weather is not ideal, they can go in there, but it's not ideal to have to practice at 7 in the morning or 8 in the morning when you don't have to. They still might. They might practice early out in Costa Mesa. I don't know. Have any idea what the schedule is going to be, but I got a beautiful building.
Another nugget. People say, well, they have an indoor field. Yeah, but it's a field and a half. It's 150 yards. There's 90 players during training camp. It's more difficult to accommodate 90 players in a field and a half that is air-conditioned. So that's why they were mostly practicing outside in the three big fields, because then you can split 90 guys in three fields easier than when it is just in a field and a half. So that's something that people don't consider.
Thank you, Harry. You're sitting in for me next Tuesday. It'll be a good show. Always appreciate having you on a Monday.
Absolutely. JT, always a pleasure, my man. Hope you had a great time. I'll keep listening to hear the stories about you having dinner next to McDowell.
Yes, you could stay tuned for that. There he is, Harry Ruiz, the Latino voice of the Silver and Black. Part of our tree here at Lotus Broadcasting. We brought Harry in to do more and more because he's good and he grinds and he got to work to be on this show. It's not hard to do a two-hour radio show, actually. It's very easy. But the people that we count on for information, my eyes and ears, who are in the locker room, at practice, the insiders, and we are adding a very unique insider to the show. Very unique. An internet sensation. I normally don't add internet sensations to the show. I will not make the announcement, but every year, the last couple of years, we bring in new insiders. And I'm bringing in, I think, one this year, maybe two. And the one is an internet guy who's very strong on the World Wide Web. And very good to the point where my son said, Dad, get him in there in the rotation. And he agreed to do it. So we can guess who that's going to be. But that'll come up in our insiders. And yes, as Bobby was asking me today, we're doing the top 10 Raider games of all time. That will be our summer programming. Summer programming is different than regular season programming. I think y'all get it. Y'all see it. When the season starts, it's balls to the wall. It's hardcore. Every game, do or die. Summertime, no. Summertime, we do some summer programming. We loosen it up a bit, and we try to get through the summer, keep you informed and entertained to the best of our ability. So I like the chemistry on this team a lot. I think the chemistry is unbelievable, and the chemistry is going to be really good. So as Bobby's telling me there's someone there, there's no one there. So we'll see what happens as we open it up and get going here. If you want to get through, 702-365-9200. That was my bad Bobby. Jorge in San Jose. What's going on, Jorge?
Yo, JT, thanks for taking my call, man.
Energy. Okay, energy from you. You're good. Let's get some energy. Let's go. Go ahead.
I got you. Okay. I got you. I'm in a therapy room, and so I just want to make sure
that's more important. The therapy room's more important than your job than the show. So thanks for calling. Go ahead.
But, you know, I'm definitely pumped about this season. I still haven't gone to Las Vegas, JT, but I think for the home season, as far as prime time, I really feel like the Raiders, you know, although they don't get a lot of favors in with the schedule, I think that they're going to have at least four primetime games, and I'm hoping that they get a good amount at home. I think Chargers, just because of the whole Harbaugh, you know, I think that the league is going to want to give the Chargers a lot of spotlight, and I think having them at home would be a great opportunity to have a lot of people from LA come to Las Vegas and just have a big showcasing. I also feel like, you know, Russell Wilson coming back to Allegiant as a Steeler would be a great home play. And then for the away games, you know, I know a lot of people are going to be calling in, probably saying the Saints or probably saying Baltimore. I really feel like Tampa on a Monday night would be a good primetime slot, just because you have Baker Mayfield, you have a rematch. You haven't played him again since, you know, that complete disaster on that Thursday night against the Rams. So I would really like to see. And the reason why, JT, is because I feel like the Raiders need to get 3 out of 4 wins against the NFC South. That's just important. You know, that's been an inferior division. No disrespect to Derek Carr or to Tampa Bay or anything like that, but we've shown that we're more competitive, you know. And my prediction was, you know, that I had KC in week one against the Raiders. Obviously, that's not going to be the case, but I still believe that the Raiders are going to play Kansas City.
I like KC early.
The first four games.
Yeah, I like that. Thanks, Jorge, for the call. Appreciate you. Thank you. I like an early game with Kansas City before they get all worked up and they're clicking. I like Kansas City early, win or lose. If we don't beat them, we don't beat them. But I'd like to get Kansas City early in the season, and then we always get them late in the season. There'll be one of those games. It'll be the final three games. And we got to hope that the game matters. And they have mattered here in Vegas. Look, Vegas, we've made the playoffs once since we've been in Vegas and lost to Cincinnati. The team's been close and very competitive every year in Vegas, except the Josh McDaniels year at the end. And they made a change with the coach. Antonio Pierce is going to be over-the-top excited when the schedule comes out. I promise you, when the schedule comes out, if we don't get coach early, or I talk to him privately, he's going to be worked up for this because of the two games in L.A. He's an L.A. guy to get the two games in L.A., and Antonio Pierce is finally going to lead this team as the de facto head coach, not interim, into Los Angeles for the Chargers and Rams. And believe me, I can't guarantee it, but believe what I'm telling you, he will have the army of the L.A. Raider Nation specifically ready to go. Promise you. You know, we try to get everybody going equal. Antonio Pierce is going to have an army of L.A. Raider fans coming into L.A. for those games. I can't imagine what his ticket request is going to be for him and his family personally. But you got to win those games. Got to win those games here. Most people who play the Raiders think they're going to beat the Raiders. If you listen to the propaganda out in L.A., they're like, the schedule comes out. Well, the Raiders will beat the Raiders. Oh, the Raiders are on a schedule. Cincinnati will beat the Raiders. No. That's coming to an end. As Antonio Pierce said, they got a bunch of dogs now on this team. I mean, dogs who fight in the back alley brawls now. Raiders are not a rollover to anybody. And the lazy term now for national media is the Raiders don't have a quarterback. How dare you? How dare you they don't have a quarterback? They got Gardner Minshew who can play and win in this league. And Aiden O'Connell was drafted in the fourth round. He wasn't a throwaway pick, and he played pretty well last year and won some critical games. Raiders have quarterbacks here. They're not super elite, and they probably tried to get one and couldn't get one. Eventually, they're going to have to get one. I wish they would have got Jaden Daniels. It was never possible. 702-365-9200. If you want to get in today, give me the one national game, home and on the road. So two total you want to see. Pick a home game. It's got to be Sunday or Monday night that you're hoping for, and a road game on Sunday or Monday night. And we'll talk about some of the streaming devices that are popping up in the NFL coming up next. Big second hour of the show. Bizball Maury, Maury Brown on baseball. Yes, I'm talking baseball because it's bleeping May. And I'm talking the NBA playoffs because it's May. And Raiders rookie camps seem to be a good success. We'll have some sound coming back on the other side. Good to have you here on a Monday, on a beautiful day in Las Vegas. Brought to you by the DeCastaverde Law Group. If you get into an accident, call 702-222-9999.
Yeah, I don't think it's more about the heat. It's about team bonding. When I played in the National Football League, we never stayed at our facility. I was used to traveling and going away and kind of bunkered up, us and 90 or 85 players at the time, whatever it was, and team bonding, getting together, getting to know one another, get away from all the distractions, all about ball, just ball. You know, I told us I want us to be the tightest group of Raiders that hopefully this organization has seen, and that's what we're going to grow and build on and get that physical toughness that we want to build on the training camp. And yeah, does it help that it's a little cooler? No doubt. But more importantly, you know, I think it's just good for our team to bond, to get away and just focus on us.
Antonio Pierce on going to California, Costa Mesa, for some training camp. I agree with him. I would agree with him normally if I think what he's saying right. I was saying this the second it came out. The weather is ideal over there, or it's a lot better. We don't know what's going to happen. Hopefully no wildfires, no bad air quality, which could happen in Southern California, but a nice fit, I think, for the team going forward. The big thing that I'm trying to be delicate with or sidestep a little bit with, these guys are younger than me by a bunch. Okay, these guys in their 20s and mid-20s and late-20s who are having their first kid. You know, when I had my first kid, I worked for the Raiders and was at training camp, but I wasn't a player, right? I'm not a player. I don't think it's great for young players to be at home changing diapers after training camp practice. That's just me. It's not a bad thing. It's great. All men should change diapers and do that. But my point is, it's kind of tough to focus in on ball when you're not in a dorm room in some crappy dorm at a college when you're a professional player who drives a Rolls Royce and has diamonds all over your wrist. It's kind of nice to be humbled and go to a college campus and have curfew. And I'm not a big curfew guy. I stay out late a lot. But when you're playing football and you're not in the team hotel, or the rookies are, but you're not as a veteran, most of these Raider players are going to go home and go to bed. They're exhausted. They're tired. They worked out, lifted weights, were in meetings all day. But it's kind of nice when you have to be in the team ballroom for a meeting and a snack at 10 p.m. instead of being in your backyard or hanging out and getting in the car and going through drive-through and not have any supervision at all. I mean, I'm all for that, man. You get to training camp, it's work. Ask Villapiano, Biletnikoff. Ask all the guys who were up in Santa Rosa. They got after it pretty good. When they had a free night or a free day, they broke curfew a lot, but they played hard for John Madden, and their practices were much more difficult. Let that be said as I wrap up this hour. The Oakland Raiders of the 60s and 70s practice a lot harder than the Raiders of today. Not because the Raiders don't want to practice. They're not allowed to practice. They're not allowed to be in pads. They're not allowed to do two-a-days. And they did it back in the day with primitive equipment, primitive shoulder pads, primitive helmets, and it was hot, and they didn't have the nutrition. They didn't have salmon in the cafeteria. I go in that cafeteria, man, it's like a five-star chef. I mean, you don't. The players today are spoiled to the 10th degree, hot and cold tubs. Those other guys used to jump in barrels. Now they have these hot and cold tubs and cyber chambers you jump into after practice and unbelievable uniforms and workout equipment. They would tell me back in the day, you go in your locker room, you get your clean laundry in the morning in a bag, in a net. You get your one practice shirt, your one practice shorts, and one pair of socks. That's not the case anymore, man. These guys got it pretty good. So get them in training camp, make it hard, make it physical. Have to. They're shutting the quarterback down in the preseason. How many years you remember me saying Derek Carr's not going to play? I mean, Derek Carr wasn't Johnny Unitas, Joe Montana. We didn't play Derek Carr in the preseason. Like, we had him in bubble wrap. It wasn't like Derek was taking us to the playoffs and to the Super Bowl, but we didn't want to get him hurt. We're past that now. We got two quarterbacks competing. They play in the preseason. They practice every day. The guy who comes through, it's going to start. The other guy's going to back him up and be ready to go. Training camp needs to be very efficient under Luke Getsy. And all indications is it will be. It's got to be really efficient for Luke Getsy to get in this 12 personnel and figure it out quickly so it's easy for the young players on this team. You got two young tight ends, Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers. They have to be elite this year. No training wheel stuff, man. No training wheels. You come out and you put them in there like they're Ferraris. You open it up. Hour number one brought to you by Modelo, the fighting spirit of Modelo. The number one beer in America is Modelo, everybody. Big second hour coming up as I say goodbye to my YouTube friends. Thank you for coming in.